Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And these days, it really is critically important to be able to dive into topics and explore and get the truth that is going to serve you. So that has been the purpose of the show for all the years that I've been doing it. I'm so glad you're joining me again, and you are part of my community. So welcome again to What Women Must Know. And what I'd like to say is that this show is really enabling people to make informed decisions. So no one can tell anyone what is in their best interest, but what we can do is share information and gain more knowledge, gain more in-depth appreciation of situations, of topics, of issues, and from there we can truly make a decision that will support ourselves and our family and our community. And that is really the purpose of What Women Must Know. Today we're going to have a really fascinating conversation, as every week we have fascinating conversations, but today is particularly fascinating because it's a topic that I have been personally involved with for 40 years, if I look back on my life and how I got started on my journey, first in my own process of seeking healing, and from there going on to become a psychotherapist and working with some of the tools that I have found to be profound for me, and of course moving on from there, becoming a naturopathic doctor as well. So it's been a rich journey of incorporating many experiences, many resources, and a deeper understanding of who we are and how we got to be who we are. So we're going to be talking to my guest today, Janice Barcelo. She is a researcher, writer, educator, and activist, and the author of three books, including Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. Janice offers a critical analysis of technological interventions during pregnancy and birth, and she exposes systemic abuse of mothers and infants during hospital birth. Through her writings, classes, and online interviews, Janice argues that medical violence is deliberate and methodical, and she reveals a decades-long agenda to alter humanity by inflicting trauma on us at the earliest stages of life. So I just want to give Janice's website, by the way, which is birthofanewearth.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Janice, then that's where you go, birthofanewearth.com. And it's my pleasure to welcome Janice Barcelo to the show today. So, Janice, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Cheryl, it's my pleasure to be here today. I'm always pleased to have an opportunity to share this information in the hopes of empowering and uplifting other people. So thanks for the opportunity.
You're so welcome. You know, this is such a deep, profound, and disconcerting conversation because of the importance of birth and the role that birth plays, and how we have as a culture, Western culture, as I like to say, we've medicalized and pathologized just about all aspects of a woman's life cycle and her journey. You know, I've written a lot about hormonal well-being and how women have been medicalized and pathologized around hormones. And this conversation will take us into the birthing process, which, as I shared with you before we began our conversation, you know, 40 years ago, I had an experience through primal therapy in the search of trying to understand myself and the traumas that I was dealing with earlier in my life, and that led me to primal therapy. And primal therapy was quite profound for me because I had the experience of my birth. And my birth was quite traumatic, actually, because it was a really long labor, and I felt like I was really stuck in the birth canal and was dying. And then the experience of finally, after this really long 24-hour or longer birthing process, kind of being whisked away. So it was this whole sense of separation, of which was probably as painful as the difficulties in the birth canal getting out. So I saw how this this experience set in me patterns of perceiving the world that created a lot of, you know, difficulty for me. I was reenacting the birth. Actually, I just want to say one other thing, and I know you have so much to share about this, Janice, but when I had this experience of remembering my birth in a primal therapy session, it was so profound because I was right back there. You know, the memory was accessed. But the most interesting thing that I experienced from that process was when I returned home from that event, that session, which was obviously so profound for me. I accidentally burnt my finger on the oven, so I had this really bad burn. And what I did was I just went to sleep. Then I had this traumatic remembrance, came home, burnt my finger, went to sleep, and when I woke up, the burn was totally gone. And for me, it was this aha moment of releasing all of this life force that had been suppressed when I held on to the unconscious memories for the ability for healing. Anyway, it was, you know, that was so long ago, and it's still such a profound memory in my mind of a real, you know, aha. I think one of the most important aha moments in my life. So, having said all that, Janice, you know, talk to us about. I want to first of all ask you, how did you get so passionate about the subject of birth trauma and the impact of prenatal experiences in the womb, of birth, how those experiences have impacted us as humans in our life?
Yeah, every aspect of our lives actually is impacted by what happens to us in the womb, even how we're conceived, you know, the consciousness around how we're conceived, and of course how we are birthed, the transition from the womb into this reality. Well, all of this is critically important for our spiritual capacities, for our perception of the world. Most of the issues that we carry with us through our lives actually start at the earliest stages. So it's important that we understand that. And I became passionate about this because I'm going to try to be brief with this because I want to get to the stuff that's going to really be important for people to hear. But I have had a very difficult time with pregnancy and birth. I had 5 pregnancies, and none of them were successful. 3 of them ended in miscarriage. One of them, I was told by the medical establishment that my baby was deformed in the 5th month, and I was encouraged to abort the baby, which I did. And interestingly enough, that experience happened in the very hospital in which I was born and was a recreation, I later realized, of my own birth trauma, what happened to me when I was birthing my son. I had to literally give birth to him in a 5-month abortion. And then the 5th pregnancy, so there's 3 miscarriages, 1 deformed baby, and the 5th pregnancy was a stillbirth. My daughter Anastasia was born still and spent 2 months and 2 days in a neonatal intensive care unit where I observed the torture of my daughter and other infants. And, of course, my nervous system was completely fried with what I witnessed them doing to her. And it activated memories from my own birth again. So I was in a very severe state of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I found my teacher, my Jinshin. I practice energy medicine called Jinshin Jitsu for the healing of prenatal and birth trauma. And I found my teacher 5 years after this event with my daughter Anastasia. And it's then that I started the healing process. She was putting out a workshop for healing of birth trauma. And I thought that my daughter had birth trauma and that she was going to be reborn. And so I wanted to understand how to help her. I had no idea that I had my own birth trauma at the time. But when I found my teacher, I began to unravel not only my own birth trauma, but my prenatal trauma as well, and my conception trauma, and how that has influenced my capacity to give birth and my entire life experience. So one of the things I want to mention is that primal therapy, Arthur Janoff, has done some important work and written some very, very powerful books that have been tremendously inspirational and helpful to me. But I do caution people about primal therapy, especially people that have had severe early trauma. And that is because when we relive these early experiences without having a way to calm the nervous system, it can be extremely re-traumatizing and compound the trauma. So I know with primal therapy, they relive it over and over and over and over again. And people feel like they've done a lot of work. This is the same for rebirthing and a few other modalities where you literally relive the trauma and you go into an extreme state of catharsis and activating, you know, adrenaline and all the hormones of stress and trauma are brought to the forefront. And so it's exhausting. People feel as if they've really done something useful. But if things are not changing in your outer reality in terms of the patterns that you've carried throughout your life, then the treatment is not effective and can also be extremely re-traumatizing. So I want to caution people about which modalities they seek for the healing of birth trauma and prenatal trauma. And there are a few that I recommend that are very gentle and non-cathartic and will work with your system at a pace that your system can handle it without being re-traumatized. And I could tell you those if you're interested to hear those, or we could go on to the next question. But I wanted to caution people about primal therapy in particular. And I'm glad you had a positive experience and that, you know, Dr. Cheryl, and that it really transformed something in you. But for a lot of people I've spoken with, it's been extremely re-traumatizing, and rebirthing is the same way.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and, you know, essentially agree with you. A lot has evolved over 40 years, so
yeah.
I have no doubt there are easier ways. I appreciate your caution. So what are the modalities that you think are really helpful and gentler on the nervous system and recovering from the traumas?
Well, I practice Jinshin Jitsu. It's spelled J-I-N-S-H-I-N. It's a Japanese system of energy medicine, and it's really based on self-care, so that you would be doing the self-care once you learn the map of the body and basically where to put your fingertips and what combinations for different types of trauma. You are your own healer once you learn a few very simple things. And the body really responds well to us bringing our consciousness to the body to say, I'm here for you. I understand what you've been through, and I want to help you. I want to help you release the trauma that you've been holding and carrying. So that's the system that I use and that has really transformed my life. I also would recommend things like cranial sacral therapy. If you can find a therapist that understands prenatal and birth trauma, Watsu therapy is incredible, especially for prenatal trauma. Emotional freedom technique can be helpful. I didn't find it particularly transformational myself, but other people have said that it's been helpful to them for birth trauma, and it is pretty gentle and non-cathartic. That's what we're looking for, is non-catharsis, something that's going to be easy and not re-traumatizing. And, there's various forms of tapping. Things like that can also be a gentle way to transform. But the deepest system for me has been Jinshin Jitsu, and it does work for the majority of my clients also, if they're willing to do daily self-care. So it totally is based on the person's willingness to do daily self-care.
Well, those are great suggestions and options for people. And as we get into the topic, it may resonate for more people as we explore the impact.
Yeah.
Because those initial experiences in life, when we are so open, our nervous system is so open, when we're so vulnerable, how we're birthed really is an imprint. And the one other thing I want to say, there was a point in my life where I lived in India, and I lived in a spiritual community, and the spiritual teacher is a woman, and she would set aside a special area in the community where pregnant couples would go, and they would be in an environment of peace and beauty and just surrounded by lots of love. And that was the beginning of the process of birthing, so they could embrace a time when they were just present with that new being that was being created, and they would be supported and loved and held in a safe place, which was it's very profound understanding, which was the beginning of the journey, right? The beginning of this process of incarnation. And we have lost that understanding in our world, so it sets up so many issues. And I guess part of our journey's here. I mean, we've created being here and experiencing them, so we're here to learn and heal. And that's what you've been really involved with, in helping people to understand so they can create more conscious choices around not only understanding themselves and healing their traumas, but helping children to come into the world in a safer way, in a more loving way. So what are some of the things that you have written about and what you teach and what you see is important for people to understand?
Well, I have a 20-week parenting program that really is most effective if people do the work prior to conception. So understanding the importance of creating a safe and not toxic preconception environment. You have to, creating a space of love in which to conceive and gestate and birth our children. And there's many steps to creating that space of love. And one huge thing right now is the exposure to wireless radiation and ultrasonic radiation during pregnancy, which is absolutely the driving force behind the autism and ADHD epidemic. What we are doing to the electrical circuitry of our children and ourselves, but for our developing children with these devices and with this medical technology that is incredibly destructive and abusive, we have to become aware of this. And I really stress this to my students and teach them step by step how to create a safe environment in which to conceive their children and gestate their children. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead, because I want us to talk about ultrasound because it's such a common practice and you have some very profound insights and cautions about it.
Yeah. I mean, my book, which is called The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound, took me very deep into the topic of non-ionizing radiation because, much to my surprise, ultrasound is radiation. We've been lied to for decades and told that it's just sound waves. But in fact, it is what's called non-ionizing radiation, and it creates both electromagnetic radiation and acoustic radiation. So our babies and our eggs and our bodies are being hit with a double whammy of extremely dangerous, what I'll call lab-created radiation. This is not the same as what's in the natural world that's coming from our source, from our creator. What's created in a lab is based on abuse. They literally electroshock torture crystals in order to create ultrasound. And I don't want to go deep into how they're creating this, but in the same way that they electroshock torture people in order to short-circuit their brains and change their memories and change their behavior, they are doing this with crystals and harvesting the trauma energy being put out by the crystals. And the crystals actually begin to morph and deform when they're hit with this electroshock torture. And it is in the expansion and contraction of the crystals that's what creates the ultrasound. You see, it pushes and pulls the air around it. And so the crystals are basically screaming in response to the electroshock torture, in the same way that every cell in our bodies is being extremely stressed and morphogenetically completely changed by exposure to ultrasonic and or wireless radiation. People have no idea how serious this is. So my book has 1,600 citations to back up what I'm saying. This research took me 5 years because, you know, it's not, they don't make it easy to find these studies. I had to go to the library. I had a librarian working very closely with me to get me these studies because you have to pay money for every one of them if you don't work for a library, okay? And she worked with me for years to get me the studies that I'm documenting in that book to show that they have known for 100 years what ultrasound does to the body and also what wireless radiation does to the body. They know that this is causing, you know, it's causing fetal growth retardation. This is why so many babies are being born small. The FDA actually did their own study in the early 1990s of some babies in Colorado. Some were exposed to ultrasound, others were not. And what they found, what the FDA found, is that yes, indeed, it causes low birth weight, fetal growth retardation. And so what did the FDA do with this information? They turned around and they raised the allowable output limits on obstetrical ultrasound machines eightfold, that thereby increasing the levels of radiation and electromagnetic assault on the incoming babies at least 8 times, and some people say it was 15 times or more higher than before 1990. Okay, and in the 1980s, before they raised the allowable output limits, okay, we have research that confirms that a single exposure to ultrasound is the equivalent of 250 x-rays, chest x-rays, in terms of the genetic damage that it's going to be doing. And there are literally hundreds of studies documenting the genetic damage that is occurring to the sperm, to the eggs, and to all parts of our children's bodies, as a result of exposure, both to wireless radiation and ultrasonic radiation. So let me just say that autistic children, overwhelmingly, they're being born with what are called de novo mutations, genetic mutations. De novo means new, okay? It means that this genetic mutation has never occurred in the family before and is showing up for the first time in the children who have the genetic mutations. And de novo mutations are caused by one of three things: genetic mutation in the sperm of the parent, genetic mutation in the eggs of the parent, or a genetic mutation that occurs to the developing baby early in pregnancy. Okay? Those are the three possibilities of what is causing so many children today, and not just children now, because we have animals developing genetic mutations and their babies being born severely deformed from exposure to wireless radiation and ultrasonic radiation. I want to stress also that every single wireless device that I am aware of is putting out ultrasonic frequencies. So every time we pick up one of these devices, we are exposing ourselves and our developing babies to both electromagnetic and ultrasonic radiation. And it is not boding very well for the future of our Earth, what we're doing with these technologies. So the next book I write is going to be about the ultrasound autism link. In the book that I already wrote, I explained how it's causing fetal growth retardation. I explained how it's causing so much excess heating, right, that this is what's driving the microcephaly epidemic, where literally ultrasound can melt your bones. Okay, and babies are being born with half their skull missing. If I explained how much heating...
Janice, you know, let's talk about ultrasound. And we can talk about the effects, as you were saying, but for those that really don't know... let's talk about when an ultrasound is recommended, how many ultrasounds a fetus gets and why they are given, and then we can explore more of the consequences. But I think we need to start, you know, at the beginning of why this was introduced and what it's supposed to be doing and how frequently it's used.
Why it was introduced is because in the 1960s, the medical establishment was exposed for their use of x-rays during pregnancy and what this was doing to the babies. And so with all of the exposure, they were no longer able to use x-rays. And they were very upset about not being able to surveil, that's the language that they use, fetal surveillance, not being able to surveil babies while they were in the womb. And so now they use ultrasound. In the 1970s, they brought forth ultrasound with a series of lies that it was only sound waves and is not radiation, and does not cause any problems with the babies. But we know that it was in the 1970s that the autism epidemic started to boom, and it increased in the 90s exponentially with the increase in ultrasonic output and the introduction of wireless usage of cell phones and that sort of thing. So they're using it to surveil babies, basically. They're using it, they make up a lot of reasons why they tell people it's necessary. And right now, babies can be exposed, you know, on average 10 times in a pregnancy, 10 to 17 times. And if you are somebody that is going to be put into the high-risk category, they're going to, you know, want to do it every week during a pregnancy. So
because
we're talking,
it's observing, it's able to observe the fetus. It creates a picture with the sound waves.
It creates a picture. I will say that my book is very important because you'll see the documentation that ultrasound during pregnancy does absolutely nothing to improve the outcome for the baby or the birth. Mm-hmm. absolutely nothing. It is only causing harm. The same thing for fetal ultrasound, the heart monitors, the Doppler and the fetal heart monitors that they strap around birthing mothers during childbirth. This is ultrasound the whole time. There is no benefit. Study after study after study after study has confirmed that there is absolutely no benefit to this technology whatsoever. It is only causing harm. So please read my book so you can learn that no matter what they tell you, what the reason is that they're doing this, even if they were able to find a problem with your baby, number one, they can't fix it. You're going to then be presented with evidence, with a, you know, a choice of whether you want to murder your baby. You're going to introduce tremendous stress into the pregnancy through this testing, and there's a huge percentage of false positives that only create stress. And there's nothing wrong with the baby. Countless babies have been aborted for no reason. There was nothing wrong. And then you also have to
find out. What can I just ask you? How did you find out that your son at 5 months was deformed? I guess they said to you. How was that discovered?
Well, ultrasound. I was put into high risk immediately because I had several miscarriages prior to my son. Okay? Then I had, I don't know how much ultrasound and how much interference in the pregnancy. But then I was told that the baby was deformed and it was recommended that the baby be aborted. And at that time, I did not understand what abortion is, how they murder my baby. You know, they actually burned my baby to death in my womb. I won't go into the topic of abortion right now, but this is so dark. So dark. Okay? So I aborted my baby, and I had to give birth to my baby. And I will say this. I was highly drugged, just as I was during my own birth. But I do not remember. When my baby came out, my baby looked completely intact, according to my recollection. I do not remember seeing my baby's organs, you know, hanging out outside of his body. That's what I was told, that his organs were, there was a hole, there was no skin on the stomach, and his organs were floating around. My baby was born whole, according to my recollection. And I want to leave that for people to consider, because I'm not the only one that has chosen to abort my baby based on an ultrasonic diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And the baby was fine, but of course is dead because they murder the babies in the womb.
Wow. I could see where that would be such a trauma.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how much trauma the medical establishment causes. With the use of their technologies. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the other popular reasons for using ultrasound is to find the sex of the baby, right? I mean, that's, you know, satisfying the curiosity of the parent.
Let me talk about that, because this is extremely important. Now, we know from various studies that ultrasound stops sperm production. They're using ultrasound as a form of contraception. So two 15-minute blasts to the adult male scrotum, and you have a minimum of 6 months infertility. And the infertility can be permanent. So I want you to consider what is happening to the developing testes and ovaries of a baby in the womb when that ultrasound transducer is directed at its genitals. And if you do have the courage to read my book, and I want to apologize about the intensity of this information. But if we do not get hit to this, literally, we will not have a future. They are destroying our children's fertility, our children's brains, our children's hearts, our children's bones, blood, everything. Everything is under assault through this technology. So, yes, they tell you, isn't that so nice that you can see if it's a male or a female? And isn't it so nice for those who want to control the size of the population on this earth to be able to create sterile children? And we won't know it, you see. You see, this is the insidious nature of radiation damage, is that a baby can be born and look normal. And you won't know for 20 years that the baby can't have children. We're finding that now, aren't we? With infertility rates skyrocketing, the children that were born in the 1990s exposed to this technology can't create life. Where they're having a lot of trouble.
Well, in countries all over the world, they're having the lowest birth rates ever. And the infertility is a huge problem all around the world, actually.
And that's because of this technology. It's a combination, again, I'm not going to put all the blame on ultrasound. It's a combination of wireless usage and ultrasound. I cannot stress enough the importance of getting yourself on wired internet, wired telephones, get off the cordless phones, get off your smart devices, because you're going to destroy yourself and your children. And it's not that hard to do. This is something also that I teach and to do, because I've made these changes in my own life. So, yes, they are expecting in just a few years that we won't be able to reproduce. That's what I'm looking for.
I've seen this, and you see the trends, and for many reasons that we're being so compromised in our fertility. So what do you recommend a pregnant couple to do? Obviously, you're going to warn them about the dangers and have them refuse. Can couples, if they are monitored by their OBGYN or they go into the hospital, can they refuse ultrasound?
Well, it would depend on your care provider. You know, this is a deep topic because most women, the first time they give birth, are going to repeat what happened to them. It's called traumatic repetition. So they're going to give birth the way they were born, which means they're going to go to an OB, right? They're going to do everything the OB says. They're going to end up in a hospital. They're going to expose their baby to ultrasound and everything else that the OB recommends, and they're going to experience trauma, and what their baby experiences is likely going to be much worse than what they themselves experience. Then, very often after they experience birth trauma, either they're going to do it again or they're going to decide that they want to go a different route, that they don't want to repeat their birth trauma. They want to heal, and they want to do birth differently. These are the people that are most suited to work with what I'm about to say and to work with me. Choosing home birth, number one, and searching for a midwife that understands birth trauma, that is smart enough to ask you about your own birth experiences and to help you seek birth trauma healing before you give birth again. That's very important. And saying to this midwife before you hire a midwife, I don't want ultrasound. I don't want exposure to Doppler. Are you comfortable using a fetoscope? You know, are you comfortable working with me throughout the pregnancy without ultrasound exposure? If not, you close the door to that midwife and you keep looking for the right care provider. But you have
to... What's a fetoscope, Janice, what's a fetoscope?
A fetoscope is a wooden device that midwives used for centuries, basically, to hear the baby's heart beat. You just put it on the belly. Mm-hmm. It's a wooden device. Mm-hmm. and you listen. Doctors can also use a stethoscope, which is a little more shocking because it's metal, but you can hear the baby's heart rate just fine by listening with a stethoscope. You do not need Doppler. Doppler is radar. Okay, this is intense radiation, and it's pulsed. Pulsed frequencies are the most damaging,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming out of every wireless device. I mean, it's really intense. So we didn't even get into the birth process yet. Okay, we're still on this, and we're almost finished with the interview. So this is very, very deep, because ultrasound's going to lead you to induction of labor, right? Induction of labor is going to cause a medically induced premature birth. Literally, that's what it is. It's a forced premature birth. You're forcing your baby out of the womb before it's ready to be born because your ultrasound showed that you don't have enough fluid, or you have an aging placenta, or your uterus is not shaped right. They're going to come up with any one of a number of nonsense reasons to push you into acquiescing to an induction based on ultrasound. It's a very useful tool for them. And it is extremely harmful. If I started with the birth process and took you through induction of labor, the use of Pitocin, the breaking of the waters, the epidural anesthesia, the cesarean birth rate, as soon as you go for induction, right, it's 67% increased chance you're going to end up having your baby cut out of you. And even higher that your baby's going to end up in a neonatal intensive care unit where there's extreme torture and trauma. So we've got C-section trauma. We've got cord clamping trauma. We've got the theft of infant cord blood. We've got the hats, the eye ointment, you know, the swaddling, the circumcision of infants. There is so much going on to torture infants and to break the bonds of love between an infant and its mother and father, and to create severe trauma that will end up with a breakdown of the family over time. You see, birth is, in its highest expression, is the fulfillment of human love, right? Two people come together who love each other and want to bring their love into eternity through the creation of life. This is what it should be and what it's meant to be in the divine expression. It should be a joyous, love-filled experience, not painful, not traumatic, joy-filled, love-filled. But when you go to the medical establishment and when you allow them to interfere with every step of your process through pregnancy and birth, you are almost ensuring that there will be birth trauma. And if there is birth trauma, the bond of love, the ability to bond properly with your baby will be severely undermined. Your baby's development will be severely undermined. Your relationship with your beloved will be interfered with. And I am quite certain that what they're doing during pregnancy and birth is contributing hugely to a breakdown in marriages worldwide. Because
I just want to say that if you are operating with a trauma that is affecting your perception of reality. So if you come into the world and that experience is one of pain or one of separation, lack of bonding, and disconnection of some sort, depending on the type of birth you've had. I mean, that sets up in that very impressionable nervous system a perception of this is how it is in the world, and this is how the world is, and this is how you have to protect yourself in order to survive in the world. And, you know, I've seen that over and over again working with people with birth trauma, these patterns. And then these patterns are replicated in every aspect of your life, right? So you go to work and you're dealing with the same stresses. It's almost like you are creating and attracting and interpreting the experiences based on how you were programmed early on in life, which is why, in my perception of things, especially as a naturopath and all the work I've done on many levels, the most important thing for healing of any chronic illness is you have to heal the underlying trauma that has generated the stress in the system.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I 100%, that is right on every aspect of it. Because, you know, the traumatic repetition, it starts in the womb. So if your father is abusing your mother, for example, while she's pregnant with you, you're going to have an imprint for abuse. If you're in a womb where you're not wanted, you know, where your mother discovers you and says, oh, no, you know, what should I do now? Maybe I should have an abortion, or your father doesn't want you. The chances that you're going to attract relationships that will confirm for you that you're not lovable, or to confirm your belief that you may never be loved, are pretty high, because you have an imprint. You have an unresolved traumatic imprint that, you know, it's not your fault. You're innocent completely, but we're carrying this stuff from conception on, because our parents are conceiving us unconsciously, and there's just so much that hasn't been dealt with intergenerationally from our own bloodline. So here we are with carrying it all. So healing the trauma is essential, and getting into a modality that will help break the traumatic repetition so that, yes, I can give birth with ease. Yes, I can manifest a beloved that is not going to re-traumatize me. You know, a relationship in which I can feel loved and supported. All of this takes time, depending on how old you are and how many decades of traumatic repetition you've had. And the earlier that you start, the better, because the quicker it will heal. You see, the less traumatic repetition, the less you have that, you know, there's a saying that the neurons that fire together wire together, and you build neurological highways of trauma. And so the less that you build those highways, the easier it is to heal. The quicker you get in there to heal yourself, the better. To find the modalities that will work for you to heal your early trauma. And it does help to have somebody like me and like you who understand the birth trauma, and who understand prenatal trauma, who understand conception trauma, who can help you bring it into your conscious mind so that you have a basic understanding. Those are the two important things, is that you have a basic knowing of your early trauma and a tool that you can use to help repattern your nervous system, help break the neurological repetition, help, you know, activate new neurological highways, new pathways through which we can have good births and have good relationships and have a gentle life instead of so much trauma over and over again. So many people are in a vortex of trauma, and I understand and have compassion for it, because I've been there, you know. Most of us have been there.
Well,
yeah, we have a lot of...
You know, our culture is basically built on trauma. You know, that's what I've arrived at. And that's why there's so many programs these days. I've just noticed there's summits talking about trauma and understanding and recognizing trauma. Because, you know, for generations and generations and generations, people have had trauma, you know, for so many reasons. And it's such an interesting conversation, and I just kind of want to delineate it, because part of what you have been sharing with us, Denise, is the awareness of birth and prenatal and the environment in the womb. It goes back even further, the condition of the relationship between mother and father before they even conceive, the health of mother and father before they conceive, and then during that whole conception time, preconception and in the womb. So the key points that I want people to pay attention to is that, first of all, we all carry our own birth trauma. Unless you've had the most beautiful, loving parents and time of, in the womb and a beautiful birth, you're carrying some degree of birth trauma. And that has an impact. And that's an awareness for people to have. And like you said, cranial sacral is one of those tools that's really effective because it helps to release the memory that we carry. I know people who do that work profoundly. And as you said, Jin Jitsu, which I know of, is a wonderful modality. But it's the awareness. It's paying attention. It's learning more. It's like reading your book. So you can, if you don't have an ability to have a perception and an understanding of why you're behaving and responding, reacting, or creating situations, it's really hard to get out of them. So this may be a good place for some people to begin to explore the reality of birth trauma and how those patterns are reenacted throughout their life. And then the other point that you're making, and you're so passionate about, Janice, do you want to say something?
Yeah, please. Please consider reading my birth trauma book, Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine, because it will bring a lot into the conscious mind. It will definitely, it's not easy to read this stuff, but it'll help people understand and remember things that may have occurred for them that may be driving what they're experiencing today.
Absolutely. It's the first step in gaining an awareness and making sense of why you are the way you are. And the other thing that, the other point I want to make about our conversation, because we covered a lot of ground here, is how our technological society has disconnected us from nature and from the birthing process itself, and how the intervention of our technology and disconnection of the wisdom of the feminine has put us in a situation where we don't have any history to call upon to, return back to natural cycles, to trust our bodies, to understand the birthing process in itself. So we give all that up to our doctors. We give it up to, to the technologies that you have profoundly researched, the ultrasound and the Wi-Fis and all the interventions that we surrender ourselves to, because as women in our culture, we have been disconnected from our own bodies and nature. And there are such severe consequences from that, and which is, what you have been sharing with us, and why it's so important to return back to our wisdom, our women's wisdom, get back to our bodies, get back to our natural cycles, get back to the earth again, which, has been a passion of mine for so many decades, of empowering women to return to who they really are and trust themselves and trust their bodies, love their bodies, and understand the importance of birthing. And you're right. One other thing I want to say, unless you clear the birth trauma, which many people are unconscious to, and I'm talking particularly about women, no matter how conscientious they are about their pregnancy and, doing the classes and eating right and reading the right books and all that stuff, that unconscious programming of their own trauma will high probability be recreated in the birth of their child. So they will wind up with cesareans, or they'll wind up with some, I wanted a beautiful home birth, but we'll wind up in some trauma in the hospital.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yep, exactly. So it's so important. Please consider reading my birth trauma book, also my ultrasound book. Go to my website at Birth of a New Earth, birthofanewearth.com. Look at the parenting program if you're thinking you'd like to become a parent someday. And, because we did a one-hour interview, and the parenting program is a 40-hour journey from preconception through parenting. It's deep, deep transformation, healing, and learning, and will prepare people in the way that people need to be prepared. They don't teach you what's important in school. We need to be understanding how to bring children onto this earth gently and in love, and how to preserve love in our families. This is the most important thing of all, is the preservation of love. And we need to create our own learning around this, and schools are not going there. It's time to create our own school. So that's what I've done, basically.
Well, I so want to honor you and thank you for the great work that obviously your dedication, your passion, spending all those hours in the library digging up studies that have been hidden from us, and putting together all this important information in your books, and the programs you have. So I want to thank you for being with us today. Birthofanewearth.com, correct? It's a website. That would be the best place for people to dive in.
Yeah. Yep. Birthofanewearth.com. If you want to know more about the radiation issue, please visit my other website at radiationdangers.com.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you again for all the dedication you have in helping all of us to live healthier and happier lives, Janice. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Fuller. Bye-bye.
And to everyone listening, wow, another powerful conversation. I'm not always comfortable, but profound, and it's important for us to just keep expanding our awareness and being open. I just want to add, one of the most important quotes I've ever come across is this, the most expensive thing you can own is a closed mind. So that's what this program is about, opening minds to possibilities for healing. So until next time, I hope you'll join me, be returning to What Women Must Know, and may your week be filled with love, peace, and harmony, and always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.